This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Is Sky Blues Extra.
Hello and welcome to the Sky Blues Extra podcast, which as always is kindly sponsored by Shortland Horn, Coventry's leading estate agents. My name's Tom Ward. I'm joined this evening by Dave.
Evening, Tom.
Evening, mate. And I'm also joined by Andy.
Evening, Tom, mate.
Cheers for joining me, chaps. This evening we'll be looking back at Saturday's defeat to QPR. And we'll also look ahead to the Middlesbrough fixture after the international break. Also, with the transfer window slamming shut on Tuesday night, we'll also be discussing the Sky Blues business in the summer as our hot topic for this evening. So I'll start with you, Dave. Having kind of had a few days to get over the loss, how are you sort of feeling over the, I guess overall after five games?
Yeah, I suppose a bit the same as going into QPR, really. I'm not sure we learnt much more, really, from the QPR game, apart from, you know, it was a game of two halves, and we can definitely hold our own against these teams, but we just, you know, we just haven't got someone to put the ball in the net. And we thought when we brought Waghorn in, we may have cracked that. I'm not sure it's looking like that at the moment. Jokeres has had a really good start, but he does need a few chances, doesn't he, to hit the back of the net. And I feel that's where we are. But yeah, looking forward to, you know, the fixtures that are coming. The lads would have had a nice bit of a rest. It's a better chance to get a bit more fitness into people like Godden. So yeah. You know, comfortable, looking forward to the next run of fixtures and go from there, see where we are.
Yeah, and Andy, I guess, you know, obviously before the season, we were making predictions about how we'd get on the first sort of five or six games. Mm. I suppose we probably would have taken three wins out of five, wouldn't we, at the stage?
Oh, definitely, Tom, yeah. Three wins out of five, yeah. No, yeah, I'll take that all day long. Decent, and it's not just the points we've got, it's the way we've played. I think we've played really well. Bar Saturday, I think we've dominated most of the possession in games. We've had most of the chances in games. So I can see a definite improvement from last season. And I think it's been a great start to the season, to be honest. Yeah, people will say we should have had maybe all the points out of the five games, but that's not life, is it? It's not being a Coventry fan, is it? I'm quite happy with three wins out of five, and I think it's been a great start.
And Dave, I think one of the things we were really good at last season was our ability to kind of grind out points in a lot of games. I suppose the one thing would be nice to see is if, you know, it's great that we're winning those home games, but if we can grind some draws out away from home, it will kind of supplement those wins, won't it, and help with the tally.
Yeah, I'm sure that will come, to be honest. You know, when we're talking about grinding out wins, yeah, definitely. Obviously, at home we've done it twice. You know, and it's been absolutely incredible. So, I don't think you can question the effort at all there. And maybe, you know, maybe it's just we're trying to settle for a point or something away from home rather than, you know, fight sort of right till the end of the whistle. But I'm sure it will come, and there's easier places to go than QPR, I think.
Yeah, 100%. We'll go into the QPR game in a bit more detail. I suppose, Dave, just chatting about the sort of build-up to the game and stuff, it was nice to have a London away day, wasn't it, for the first time in quite a while?
Yeah, definitely. Massive shame, wasn't it, that we couldn't get a few extra supporters there, because I think we would have easily got some extra, you know, bodies in there if we could have, if it was available. But I think everyone enjoyed it. It was, you know, there's so many good ways of getting down to London, isn't there? You've got the train, even though Euston was, you know, typically weekend Euston again on the weekend. So coming into that was a bit of a nightmare. But yeah, I think, you know, you've got the coaches now that are coming down from the tavern and stuff like that. So it was really, really good. And there's a, you know, with Baker Street being so near, it's a really good little melting pot with plenty of little, you know, pubs around. And it was a really good atmosphere in the Globe beforehand. And saw it, you know, it's nice to see a few faces and say hello. And yeah, it was London away days always have a little bit of excitement, I think, for Coventry supporters. It's an easy enough route down, but it's chance to let off some steam.
Yeah, exactly. Apart from a few people moaning about the drinks prices.
Yeah, well, to be honest, I could easily moan as well. It's horrendous in the Globe. I must admit, it's just outrageous. You know, when you think about what goes into a pint, it's just absolute scandal. But yeah, that is London, unfortunately. And some areas are, you know, are more expensive than others, and West London is definitely one of them. Mm.
Yeah, and really impressed with the ground as well. Obviously, it's one of the older grounds, isn't it, in the league, in the whole of the EFL, really. I couldn't really believe how close we were to the pitch on the top tier.
It's looking a bit tired though, lads, isn't it now? You know, I've mentioned this probably more than enough times on Saturday, but if anyone's ever bothered to watch the four-year plan, which is a really interesting take on football ownership, it just goes to show perhaps why QPR, you know, had that blip when they did, because of the whole Operation Premiership that they had going on. But at that time, they really, it was almost, that's what mattered. The on the pitch and the team didn't matter as much, although they threw a lot of money at players like Sean Wright Phillips. It's going way back. But the ground really got a real spruce up. Everything was like brand new seats, the scoreboards, and I just felt it looked a little bit tired again on the weekend. But at the same time, it's great to have a really good old traditional stadium, isn't it, Andy? We like them ones that are built in the backyard of people's houses, and they got a bit of character rather than those ones that are sort of out of the town, I guess.
Yeah, very much so, Dave. Yeah, the old grounds are always the best, aren't they? Like we always say about Highfield Road, those stadiums that are in, you know, around people's houses, the terrace streets, it's nothing better. Really brings back the old flavour of football, doesn't it?
Yeah,
exactly. And not to mention the transport as well, right? They're always right on top of the train networks.
That's what you want, isn't it? Always closer to home. Yeah, that's what you need.
Yeah. And as Dave said, it, you know, it's a shame we couldn't get more in there. But still, 2,000 was a really good attendance, and they didn't stop singing, really, did they, the whole game, Andy?
No, our away support has always been good, hasn't it? And yeah, it's a shame we couldn't get that extra, was it 500 tickets other clubs that could have had. So, but a bit of a shame that. But no, we always pack out the away end, and the Sky Blue Army never shuts up throughout the whole 90 minutes, and we support the team brilliantly, don't we?
And let's get into the game in a bit more detail. As usual, we'll start with the match stats, Andy.
Yeah, as I said at the start of the pod, you know, we've been dominating teams in possession recently. But this was a bit of a change, because we only had 38.9% of the possession, which is much lower than what we have had over the last few games. And I think that's more to do with the direct style of play we played on Saturday. It was a lot more direct towards Waghorn and playing on the counter-attack, wasn't it, Tom? So, and less dominating the ball, which we have done in the first few games. Shot count, again, we had 15 shots compared to their 12, but again, only 4 on target, which again is pretty poor, really lacking that cutting edge, which is which I really say every week, don't I, Tom? I'm fed up with saying it, to be honest with you. But we'll probably come on to that point later. We've got a stat, another good stat coming up on that, haven't we, Tom? So, yeah, and defensively, they were a little bit more... We won 11 aerial duels compared to their 19, so that shows that they were a bit more dominant in the air than us. And but we won 17 tackles compared to their 14, so not too much different in attacking in the tackle stakes, Tom.
And you said that we sort of dominated that first half. We really flew out the blocks early on, didn't we, Andy?
Yeah, we did. We kept on getting in behind them, but we just couldn't really get that killer touch, could we, Tom? It was that more direct style to... I'm going to say Big Vic, because I can't say his surname. To Big Vic, he was doing a great job holding the play up. I thought Waghorn was decent. That's probably one of the better games I've seen him play for us. He looked a bit more lively, didn't he? I think he's just desperate for that goal, isn't he, Tom? And I think as soon as he gets that goal, he might be up and running. And also, he knows that he's got pressure on his place now, doesn't he, Tom? So he knows that he has to play well, play better, or he's going to be on the bench. So, no, I thought he was better. And, yeah, we kept on, and, you know, O'Hare was being busy. And, yeah, we did kept on getting in behind them. But I wasn't that impressed with QPR, especially first half. I thought I was expecting a lot more from them. And even, you know, their manager, who I like, he's a very honest manager. Every time you listen to him, he speaks a lot of sense. And even he said after in his post-match, he said that Coventry were much the better side first half, and we were.
Yeah. We got accused after the last pod of all pronouncing your care as slightly differently. So I think I'll stick with Big Vic as well. But you looked right at it, didn't he, in that first half, Dave?
Jokeresh. No, I'm joking. It's Jokeresh, isn't it? That's what I thought it was.
Your care as I've been saying. But
your care as. Oh, okay. God. He did. That's what he gives you, doesn't he? He's strong. He's a focal point, but he runs those channels really well. And what I really like about him is a lot of hold-up players hold the ball and wait for players to come onto them and feed the ball into them. But he actually very much holds it up and then tries to turn a defender and stand them up and go past them. And that's why he causes so many hassle, really. A lot of strikers that play that hold-up rule are quite easy to play against for 90% of the game because they're quite static in their movement. But the whole point of it is, you know, to feed the ball into them and have runners off. But he really does try to turn defenders. So I thought he started brilliantly. And I think he just sets the tempo for our play. I think he gets... Definitely the support. I mean, the supporters were so positive, I think, in the first open exchanges because of the way he plays. But I think he does give other players a chance to sort of feel a bit more positive and start to think, you know, we can have a go here. And because he really is, he's not, you know, it's not like it's just going over his head or he's flicking it on to no one for 90 minutes. He really does try and turn players. And I think that's, yeah, it really sets the way that we want to play in tempo.
And we were right on top of QPR, and in the 8th minute, it almost felt like everyone in the team had a chance to score. It was Matson who brought it forwards. Waghorn had his shot blocked. Hamer had a shot blocked, and then O'Hare's effort was saved. Just couldn't poke it in, could we, Andy?
Cannonball, wasn't it, Tom? It was like, pinball machine. Yeah, we just couldn't get it. O'Hare was just a little bit lucky not to poke it in. Again, he needs something like that to get him up and running, doesn't he, Tom? But no, it was indicative of what we were doing first half. We were right at it, especially at the start. We were all over them and we really started the game brilliantly, Tom. And a little bit unlucky, we should have really taken the lead. Because I think goals changes games, doesn't it? And I think if we would have just got that goal in the first half, I think we would have won the game.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. You ready for this horrible stat then, lads?
Yeah, go on.
I saw this on Twitter today. So we've had 80 shots this season. And we've only converted 6% of them. Bit of a worrying stat, isn't it, Dave?
Yeah, of course it is. But that's where we are. That's where we are as a team. I'll be interesting to see, you know, some of the other, you know, stats for other teams this season, because we won't be the only ones, because we're not the only sort of team in the Championship that just can't somehow, you know, sign that 20 20 goals a season striker. Like, they're really, really hard to come by. And when you do come by them, they're very, very expensive. So I think we've got to be realistic. And I think we've got to, you know, keep our feet on the ground and be, you know, realistic. And the reality of it is that, yeah, we're creating a lot of chances. But that's, you know, we need to do that for us to get one or two, sadly. Whereas a Bournemouth or a Fulham would probably create, you know, 90-80% of what we've done, but convert so many more of them because of the quality they've got. So you know, the main thing is that we're converting, you know, we're making the chances. And I think actually last season I'm not sure when we had certain players in there that we looked like we were doing that, if I'm honest. So I think we've definitely improved in terms of the amount of chances that we're churning out. We just need to obviously put it away.
I suppose it just takes, you know, something to click, doesn't it? I mean, if you remember the League Two season with McNulty, it took him, you know, till probably after Christmas, really, to properly click into place. And you just think if one or two of our strikers click into place, then there's enough chances for them, isn't there?
100%. I mean, look, you've got players that still haven't played that much with each other, and are very different in the way that they play as well and their styles. So that's got some time to gel a bit better. And, you know, hopefully then we'll start to see some more reward. But you cannot be disappointed the way that they've started the season and the amount of chances they're creating, because it's just such exciting football to watch. And that's why we've been getting these late winners, I think, because we churn out so many chances and we're doing it right until the last minute. It's putting teams under more pressure. Whereas I think last season we went through games where we just didn't really do a lot, really, enough to do that. So I think it's great signs.
Yeah. And one of the highlights from the first half was Seymour's save from the share free kick. This was a brilliant save, Andy.
All about footwork, Tom. When the ball's out like that, and when it's 25 yards out, he tries to whip it top bins. It's all about footwork as a keeper, and he got away. He got across brilliantly, didn't he?
Yeah.
Great footwork. Got a strong right palm onto it and tipped it onto the bar. Fantastic save. Really good footwork by Seymour, and he made another great save as well in the second half. He's been probably, you know, I think I put him down in the preview pod as someone who's going to disappoint me, and he hasn't. He's been absolutely fantastic, and I couldn't be happy with him. He's so solid, and that was another fantastic piece of goalkeeping.
Yeah, exactly. And obviously later on we'll go on to talk about the transfer window, but Dave, I suppose when you look at, you know, down to player by player and where we've improved, you'd have to say the goalkeeping position is a big improvement, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Comes to claim the ball, sets us up really well. Obviously, a lot of chat, and gets us going a lot quicker. So, you know, at times, I think we've always played it well from out the back, but we're, you know, even more so, I think we're looking like we're, you know, we're turning defence into attack a lot quicker. And a lot of that's coming through Seymour, isn't it? But yeah, I think it's been a great signing for us, and some of those may or may not have gone in with you know what we had last year, but it's definitely been an upgrade.
And Robin's made a double switch in the second half fairly early on, took Vic and Waggy off for Walker and Godden. I don't know how you saw it, Andy, but it felt a little bit like it kind of killed our rhythm a bit.
Strange decision by Robin's. Big Vic, and like I said earlier in the pod, that was Waghorn's best display so far. I can see the logic behind it. Obviously, with Godden scoring late on against Reading, he probably thought he might get a chance and finish. But I would have just kept Vic on. And, I don't understand
that
why.
That was the one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think once Jokeres went off, that was it. It kind of just... We kind of lost that... that sort of fear factor about ourselves, I think. I think they felt a little bit more comfortable once those changes. That's how it felt anyway. We kind of lost that outlet a little bit.
Well, Tyler Walker doesn't work the same as Vic, does he? He doesn't press the back line as much as Vic. He's he has that, I don't want to call him lazy, but he has that languid style, doesn't he? That, and that's not what you want when you nil-nil get away at QPR, is it? In my opinion.
Yeah.
And I think with Vic, I think he was just pressing the back line. He was holding the ball up. It was working really well. And
I like they looked a bit far to get far away from each other as well, Godwin and Walker.
Like it looked like they hadn't played together, didn't it?
Yeah, it didn't feel like as tight a unit as what Vic and Waggy looked like in the first half. I just think it's a big change, isn't it? Your cards are on the table, aren't they? And you've got a two pair, you know what I mean?
And you think to yourself, don't you, that Godden's earned his chance of getting the last 100%. 20 because he scored against Reading. I don't think Walker has, if you in a sense. I don't think he, you know, I know he's come back from injury. It's not his fault that he's been injured, but I think it just wasn't the time and place to bring Tyler Walker on for me. I think one change, Godden would have been best suited, I would have thought.
We struggled to get going in the same way the second half, and I don't know about you chaps, but I just felt there's a bit of an air of inevitability really about QPR taking the lead, and obviously that happened in the 68th minute. Talk us through this goal, Andy.
Fantastic strike, I have to say, Tom. Brilliant strike into the bottom right corner. Simon was full length; he couldn't do anything about it. Could have been done closing him down, maybe. But I think sometimes you just got to pull your hands up and say, that's just fantastic. And I think it was just a great goal by a decent player. You know, he's an international for Scotland, isn't he, Dykes? And he showed his quality in that strike. It was a wonderful strike. Yeah. So fair play to him. It was a good strike.
And it wasn't too long after that, really. Obviously, found ourselves 2-0 down. Save this question for you, Dave, because you're pretty fuming. And Dave turned into Gary Neville in the pod, showing me in slow motion. He was circling people and all sorts. So I'll let you talk us through this one, Dave.
It's just it's been so long that I've nearly forgot. So this is, you know, Simon Moore's made a good save right down to the right hand side.
Fantastic save.
So it's a great strike to start off with, right? And it's absolutely traveling, but. You've got to react. You know, you learn, don't you? You learn from 3, 4, 5 about react, second ball. And the thing is, the frustrating thing is we've done that all this season. I think that's what we've actually been better at in terms of the second ball. And I would like to see some of the stats from when we picked up the second ball in the first three games of last season compared to this, because we have actually really reacted, but we just didn't, did we? No one did. And
wasn't it?
It was almost like, you know, thanks, Si, you've done your job. You know, great save down. And then that was it. We just completely switched off. But I think that sort of epitomised the second half, really, that we were just not on the front foot as much as we were in the first half. And I don't think that would have happened in the first half.
Yeah. And we didn't really offer much in the last 20, to be honest, did we, Andy? And QPR looked pretty comfortable, to be honest.
Yeah, it kind of petered out, didn't it, Tom? Which is a shame because, you know, you go to QPR, you know, they're top, they're tipped to, you know, reach the playoffs minimum, you know, and to be, at, you know, outplay them so much in the first half and then the second half, it just, whether it was due to the manager's changes or just us coming off it a little bit, it's just disappointing, isn't it? It's just... You know, after playing, you know, if you went there and played rubbish and then got beat, you're fair enough. Like last season, you kind of like take it on the chin and walk away and just say they're a better team. But I don't think they were. Whether it was because they were off it a little bit, I don't know. But it was certainly a result that we could have got, and that's the disappointing part of it, I'm afraid. And to get back to your question, it did kind of just after the second goal just peter out, and they got in the end an easy 3 points.
Yeah, just goes to show, and we've said this many times, but that extra bit of quality, Dave, and you know, those championship teams, they get themselves in front and then they have that ability to kind of kill the game off. And it's something we haven't quite, you know, got the ability yet to do, have we?
No, we haven't quite mastered that. And look, I spoke to my brother-in-law, QPR fan, in lots of different QPR WhatsApp chats, and they did say that was one of their worst performances of the season so far. you know, which is interesting because obviously Barnsley, they looked like they didn't even get going. But yeah, they did. They did say it. What they didn't play, you know, as well as they had. But that's championship quality, isn't it? I think, and that's the one thing that we've not done so far in the championship. Whereas we did in League One. I think back to games against Derby. Bolton, was it Bolton, when we, you know, we just had that ability to roll teams like that over, and it was very much the same. I suppose it's always a bit like that when you're looking up at the table of where you think teams are going to end up in the season, but we haven't quite mastered it. But you know, I think that there's lots and lots of positives to take from not just Saturday but the way we've started this season.
Yeah 100%. And I suppose one thing I would mention is that it kind of feels like we've come a long way. You know, to come away feeling that gutted from a 2-0 defeat in a game the way we dominated the first half, there's definitely positives to take, aren't there, Andy?
Very much so. You know, you have to take your mind back to last season when we got completely rolled over there, didn't we? We have come a long way. And to be coming away from Loftus Road, disappointed with losing a tight game, it shows how far we've come, isn't it? I think it's just disappointing because the way we're playing so well, aren't we? I just think it's just that last bit, and that's the most frustrating thing in football.
What would you have done differently, lads? You know, what would you done differently if it was, you know, your 60 odd minutes in or whatever he made the changes? Because it was about 60, wasn't it? It's quite early.
There wasn't much. Yeah. I really don't think there was much in the game. I think the subs was the problem. I wouldn't have.
I think from a point of view, I think they were a little bit off it, and we did
capitalize.
Capitalize on it. What we should have done,
and they got a chance to get in at halftime. Obviously, Pollock in. And obviously, probably spoke about some of the areas that they could exploit us, and that probably was it. We did seem to back off of them a little bit in the second half, but I don't know. I thought it was interesting that we didn't perhaps see Jones. I thought that might have been an interesting one. I mean, there wasn't there wasn't many more changes that he could have made from the bench, but I think it does all seem to boil down to that two change. We just seem to lose all threat up front, really.
I think it's really hard, isn't it, when if you go away from home and you have a good first half and you don't capitalise, there's always, that's what's saying about that air of inevitability. It's kind of like if you 1-0 up at half time, like a bit like at Blackpool, you can sit in and dig in and you can fight for the points or
you
nick a point, whatever.
But
if you don't, it's a bit like,
it's coming, don't you?
Well, that's why there's an air of inevitability, because that is just naturally Coventry City, isn't it? If we've got a couple of goals in front, then no one's relaxing, and you're kind of watching it behind your hands. But that's just, I think that seems to have been forever and a day as a Coventry fan. But you're right, like, we've got to capitalise on those early chances, because it would have just changed the game, would have flipped it so much. And it's almost a shame, because they deserve that. You know, the way that they played, they at times in that first 15 minutes completely blew QPR away, really. They didn't really know how to handle Jokeres. And like you say, Waggy had a better game, didn't he, than perhaps he had. And I was disappointed, because I thought he had one that, you know, you would have liked to have seen him in Bury, and he kind of just didn't kind of, I think it was on his left foot as well.
Is that the one the keeper saved over the bar, or was that the one?
I'm trying
before?
To remember now, but it kind of fell to him at the back post a little bit.
Right.
And they were all over it. They were sort of at six and sevens a little bit, and he kind of snapped at it, but didn't really make great contact.
I
think if he would have had a few goals under his belt, you know, the player that he is, he probably would have just put that away. But you know, we could talk forever and a day about it, couldn't we? But it did seem that it's also for, you know, anyone but strikers also, when you come on, anyone that comes onto a pitch, it takes you a little bit of time to get into it. And when you've got players doing that, that's possibly why it kind of died a bit of a death for a period. And then they quickly got the goals, didn't they, after that? So it was difficult.
I bet Robbins regrets making both subs secretly. He won't admit it, but I reckon if he had his time back, I think making one of them subs and then maybe bring, like you said, bring in a bit of pay. But we haven't seen much of Jones, have we, since Northampton, have we really?
No, and he offers something a little bit different. Like,
he does, but
the thing is Jokeres obviously backed defenders up and they were sitting off him because they knew he was going to go past him, whereas we kind of lost that ability to go past players, I think, apart from Callohair. So, you know, maybe they just felt a bit more comfortable. But
yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, just to round things off, I'll get a man of the match from you both. Andy?
Big Vic for me. I thought he was brilliant. I know he was on the pitch for 60 minutes, but I thought he was outstanding. I thought he held the ball up brilliantly. I thought he led the line fantastically. His dribbling's fantastic as well. Brings people in. I thought he was great. And it just showed when he went off, it seemed to peter out for us. So it just shows how much of an impact he had on the game. Special mentions to Si Moore. I thought he made two excellent saves and, again, commanding in as ever. I thought he was fantastic. And I thought Dabo had a good game at right wing back as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of positive comments from the QPR fans about Dabo, wasn't there?
And rightly so. He's getting back to his... because obviously last season was very bitty for him, wasn't it? So he's getting back to when we won the league, isn't he? So yeah, back to that kind of steam train form,
fitter, doesn't he? He looks so much fitter. He seems to have got that pace back. Whereas I thought at times last season he was obviously struggling with that back injury, wasn't it? Was it back injury? But he basically seemed to struggle to go past people, whereas he used to just ghost past players. And I think that he seems to have got that back now.
Steam train's back in action, boys.
Yeah, exactly.
Dave, who's your pick for the match?
Yeah, I'd agree with Andy. I think Big Vic probably was the best of the squad. Like, say, special mentions for Si Moore. And I thought, just as usual, Cal made things happen again. He does always seem to make things happen. I thought he had a good game. And likewise, Dabo. But Big Vic for me.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
We're now going to move on and discuss the next fixture, as the Sky Blues host Neil Warnock's Middlesbrough at the CBS Arena a week on Saturday. Andy, it's never easy facing a Neil Warnock side, is it?
Never. No, always has them well organised. He's a wily manager. You know, he likes giving out his signatures as well, doesn't he, on his cards these days.
When's Robinson going to start doing that?
I don't know. But I think I'll be staying away from Warnock for one of those. but he knows what he's doing at this level, doesn't he? And whether you hate his Marmite, isn't it? Whether you hate him or love him, he gets results in this division. So, but I'm quite confident against Middlesbrough. I'm fairly buoyed, especially because the amount of changes they've made, and it's going to take them time to bed in. So, hopefully, we can play them when they're on the hop and we can get 3 points.
Yeah, fingers crossed. And Dave, we didn't have the best of times against Borough last season. We lost 2-0 away and we lost from being ahead in the home game 2-1. So definitely looking for revenge in this fixture.
Yeah, definitely. I think they were some of our disappointing. The 2-0 away was just very lackluster, I think, really. We kind of just rolled over a little bit. But, you know, I think looking at their fixtures... Yeah, draw against Derby away. They got two against Queen's Park Rangers, didn't they? But they finally sort of, got beat there. And Blackburn 1-1, which to me, I think they're there for the taking, really. They've not had the best of starts. And yeah, of course, definitely want to be getting some revenge. But just the way that we've started and perhaps the way they have, I'm hoping that, like Andy, we can get something from it.
They've had an interesting summer of recruitment, making 11 signings. They just signed that Andres Borra from Sporting CP on deadline day. He seems to be a really good signing. What have you made of them, Andy, and what do you think we can expect from them?
Yeah, like I say, they've brought in quite a bit of experience, like Joe Lumley in goal. I think he was at QPR. Sammy Amiobi, obviously, he's former Newcastle and Forest. Lee Peltier, former, I think he Huddersfield player. Matt Crooks, because obviously he was at Rotherham last year, I think, who I think he's already got a couple of goals for them already. Sol Bamba, again, experience, you know, was with at Warnock, at QPR, not QPR, at Cardiff, wasn't it? Warnock. At, yeah. And then they bought the speed demon, Ano Hernandez, from Norwich, who I know that he's got a lot of ability. He's a bit of a maverick kind of player. So they've been very busy. I think they've, like you said, they've bought 9 or 10 in, but they've also let 9 or 10 out. So it's very like a revolving door at the Riverside, really. But like Dave said, they haven't started the season particularly well. They got a good result opening day against Fulham, which is away at Fulham. That was a good result. Yeah. But you know, and they beat Bristol City, but they got hammered by Blackpool in the cup. They lost to QPR at home. They drew with Derby and they drew with Blackburn. So not particularly great results.
They're going to be like quite physical, aren't they? And direct,
yeah,
as well.
That's
and
what they
dealt with that quite well.
Yeah.
In the glimpses that we've seen, I think that direct and physical, I think we've dealt with that fine. So I see him causing us that lot of issues, but that's fantastic.
Yeah, and also they've bought so many in, it's going to take them time to bed in, isn't it? So, you know, I think we've got, as long as we keep playing front foot football, don't go back to how we played towards, you know, last season where, you know, we sat off teams. Just keep playing like we are doing. And I think we can get a good result against Middlesbrough.
There's no reason not to play like that.
Absolutely not.
You know,
no.
We've got two fantastic results at home. So
we have.
We should be full of confidence, really, and go out there and go at them. You know,
absolutely. We, you know, we've got, like you said, two results out of two at home. We've got to make the CBS a fortress this season, haven't we, Tom? And because our away form, as we know, is always iffy. So, like we did at St Andrews, we've got to make that CBS a fortress, and we have done so far. And as long as we play on the front foot, which I think we will do, you know, I think there's 3 points here. Definitely.
Yeah, it's quite an important game, isn't it, Andy, as well? You look towards September and October and a few of the sort of slightly trickier games start creeping in, don't they? You know, some of the, we've got Fulham, haven't we, at home? And there's some of the more difficult games. So I think, you know, having lost away at QPR, I think it's important that we sort of, you know, get back on track with this game after the international break.
100%. We have. I know we have got Fulham coming up, but if you look at the next block of fixtures, you've got Middlesbrough and Cardiff at home. Millwall away, which is not an easy game to go, but it's not the hardest.
Our record's pretty good there, isn't
it? Yeah, it is. We won there last year, didn't we?
Yeah.
And, you know, we've got, you know, Peterborough at home and then Luton away. So that block of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 fixtures, there's a lot of points there, isn't there, before that Fulham game, isn't there, Tom? So there's a, you know, a good block of 5 games that we can really get some points here. You know, they're not the hardest games. There's, out of those 5, there's 3 at home against teams that you think, yeah, we can get results out. And the 2 away are tricky, but again, winnable in my opinion. So these block of 5 is very important before that Fulham game. So, you know, if we get some good home results starting with Saturday against Middlesbrough, I think we can have a good month.
Yeah, hopefully. Dave, how are you expecting Mark Robbins to approach this game?
Yeah, I think he's probably, I would expect him to go 2 up top. I'd probably be exactly the same as the weekend. I'm just trying to think if anyone rogue slipped in. I can't remember if anyone was out. But yeah, I'd expect that to be the lineup. I think Waghorn and Vic will lead the line. And I can, you know, the usual suspects at the back, hopefully, barring any sort of injuries and stuff. I'm not sure we'll see if Rose is back fit. I'm not sure. I think we would still see Clark Salter. He sort of gives us that natural balance, doesn't he, on the left side.
Sorry to interrupt there, Dave. What was, obviously, you seen him in the flesh against QPR. What did you make of Clark Salter?
He's a big, big, big lad, isn't he? He's, you know, and he's confident on the ball. Like, he doesn't rush. You know, there's a lot of defenders that will rush things. He doesn't do anything rushed. He's got a calmness about him. And that's really important for the way that we keep the ball from the back a lot.
Of course.
And you know, I think Fads looks so much more. He just looks...
He's
always been a forward, but this season he looks like he's stepped up again. And I think maybe... I don't know, maybe it might be that he's kind of captained us from the start of the season, if that makes sense. And maybe that's got something to do with it, where he kind of, you know, but I think we look really assured. But yeah, to answer your question, he looks great to me, and gives you that natural side. Probably lacking in pace a little bit, Tom. He's probably not the quickest, but then, you know, probably neither is Rose and Higham. So, but I think that would be
package from you. But...
No, exactly. And he can ping a ball as well. So yeah, pretty comfortable with that. And I think that's how we'll line up.
Yeah. I'll grab some predictions, lads. Dave?
I think it's going to be really tight. But I think we can nick a win here. I think I'm going to go for 1-0.
Andy?
Yeah, I'm with Dave. I think it's going to be a really tight affair. But I think we're going to nick this again 2-1.
2-1, right. We've got to do our Tweet League prediction, lads.
Anything would be better than last week. Yeah, what did we go for? 2-2?
Did we have 2-2, did we?
Yeah. I'm blaming Dean.
Well, are we?
That was Dino's fault.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll let you go, Tom. You give
it. Yeah, you go.
I'll go with 1-0. A clean sheet would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, would be.
And obviously, for anyone taking part in the COV Tweet League, do make sure you get your predictions in before the Borough game.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
The transfer window slammed shut last night, with the Sky Blues making 11 signings in total, 8 of which are in the first team picture. And the final addition of the summer came in the form of Todd Kane from QPR, who signed on a 2-year deal. Andy, we're never prolific on deadline day, are we?
No, pretty boring, wasn't it, if I'm being honest?
Probably a good thing, though. It means we get our business done early. But
yeah, absolutely. That's what you want to be doing. You don't want to be rushing last day, do you? It's not very exciting, granted, but I'd rather be in, you know, it's not as exciting as Ronaldo going to Man U, is it? Or Griezmann going to Atletico. But yeah, it's Coventry City, and we got our business done early, which Robbins always likes to do. He traditionally does that, doesn't he? And we're not fannying about, you know, on deadline day. So, you know, I'm quite happy with the business. I think we've made some good additions. And I think we're better than last year, which is proven in how we've played mostly and the results we've got this season. And the most important part is that we've lost nobody. Yeah. That's the most important part of this window, is that we haven't lost Callohair or Gustavo Hamer.
Yeah, especially when you mentioned, you know, teams like Middlesbrough shipping out a load of players. Probably a lot of the Championship clubs have shipped off about, you know, 8 to 10 players, haven't they? So, you know, it's you know, we haven't lost anything, like you say.
No, and that's no good for a team rhythm, is it? You know, when you lose, you know, you've got 10 coming in, 10 coming out. You don't want that, do you? I mean, what Robbins has done is he's believed in the players that have got us there, that did so well for us last season, and he's added bits of quality, and that's what you do to try and progress in football, don't you? You believe in the players that you've got, that's done a good job for you, and then you add that little bits of quality, and I think he's done that.
Yeah. Do you think the owners are starting to see that slightly longer term vision now as well? Because probably partly being in the Championship, but we're able to sort of, I guess once you get to this level, Callum O'Hare could quickly become a 10 to 12 million pound player, rather than in League One, where you just sort of get rid of 2 to 3 million or even less, you know, with the case of Madison and players like that. So do you think they're sort of looking a bit more long-term with it now?
I hope so. Only Joy can answer that question. But they you can't say they haven't backed Robbins, can you?
At all, can you?
No.
I don't know. I don't really know what people want, but
I do. I want to be in the Premier League. I want to move back to Highfield Road. No, it's not going to happen. You know, we all want that, but
you've got to build sustainably, haven't you?
Yeah, of course you have.
I mean, we're starting to see the cracks appearing in the Championship now, aren't we? I mean, teams like Reading, you know, are really, you know, screwed, aren't they? Let's be honest. Which, you know, I still don't know how they managed to sign Scott Dan, but there you go. I suppose if you're in that much debt, you might as well be in a little bit more, but. But yeah, the cracks are showing, and we're probably coming out of it looking a bit better than a lot of people. So I think, you know, we've got to keep on that sort of track, haven't we?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know what Dave thinks of this. I think exactly the same. We've just got to, like I said earlier, we've just got to keep adding a little bit of quality, haven't we, Dave?
The difference is that, you know, what does money get you these days? You know, £1 million for a striker. When you look at it on paper, I think everyone probably had their reservations about Gyökeres, I would say. I would say, you know, what was it, about 1.5 in the end? Was it leading up to?
From what we know.
So, but he's, you know, he's just stepped it up another level and he's looked fantastic. But likewise, there's been players that we've signed, you know, for maybe half that perhaps haven't done as much. So,
yeah, and you look at, I mean, Waggy was worth 5 mil only a couple of years ago.
Well, this is the thing.
And so, yeah. You know, you're right, Dave. You know, what does money get you, really? You're probably better having a solid recruitment strategy and a really good scout than actually going out and just buying players that you think will be all right and actually might not be.
100%. Because you just, you don't know what, you do know what you're going to get. But unfortunately, these strikers, they're coming, when you start going from teams that are dropping down from the Premiership or players that are dropping out of the Premiership, they're still on that money. Like, it's the weekly, you know, the weekly wages as well that we've also got to think about. And when you think about the highest paid player in, you know, in our squad, and when you can start to compare that to some of those players, you know, even at Reading, and it's just, you know, we heard about, you know, players at Reading that had to get moved on. They didn't want to leave simply because they couldn't afford to pay them. They said that we're going to have to let you go. Otherwise, the club is going to be in dire straits. So, you know, we don't want to be in that situation. We've made such good progress. And I think it would be really, really easy to forget that it wasn't too long ago that we were in League Two or League One, you know, and you need some years of building, and I think we're doing that. And we're
not just in League One, but off
the pitch as well. You know,
in League One in Birmingham with crowds of 6,000.
You
know, I think the last team that had crowds like that going to the Championship was probably Burton. And what happened to them? They went straight back down. So you know, it's a miracle really that we stayed in the division anyway. Really. Yeah.
It's just fans. It's just impatient, aren't they?
Of course. And everyone wants something to cheer about. But I think you've just got to realise what an absolute insane world football is. And it's very, very difficult. There'll be players Coventry wouldn't even be on their minds. You know, there'll be players in the Championship that Coventry wouldn't even be on their minds because of money and it being a short career. However good our football is, and however, you know, we've proved so many times that players that are perhaps, you know, either towards the end of their game or are up and coming, like Cal O'Hare and even the Ben Sheaf, you know, is showing that now, that we do really, you know, hone and grow players really, really well. But still, you're still only fishing in a very small pond, I think, for what we can actually, one, attract and then, two, afford.
Yeah. 100%. Talk a bit about Todd Kane, Andy. He's been described as a versatile player who can play as on the right wing back and also left wing back. And he's also played in midfield as well. Mm. He has had a few disciplinary issues, obviously, that we've been hearing about. But, you know, he seems like quite good cover, doesn't he, on both sides if we do have any injuries?
Yeah, he's not an exciting signing, is he? But he's a needed signing.
Yeah.
Because it's what's needed. We needed cover at both wing backs positions, and we need cover in the centre of midfield.
Yeah, he covers a bit of ground in that respect.
Yeah, he does.
He's got some games under his belt as well. So
yeah, he's played for Hull. You know, he played for Hull. He's played for QPR. You know, he was at Chelsea as a kid. You know, he's got some pedigree and. You know,
steady player, isn't he?
Looks steady.
Well, that's good though, isn't it? Because you know, how many times have we signed a wild card like DaCosta or Hilsner? And I think it's okay. Just it's not an inspiring signing, but it might just be what we need. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. You wouldn't be panicking about him coming on the pit. You know, rather than sometimes you might be thinking, you know, if Dabo, you know, gets injured here, what's going on?
DaCosta going to do? Leave his man last minute.
Just say to the geezer next door, you know, sitting next to you know, the season ticket holder, have you got your boots? They fancy it. But no, all jokes aside, like, I think he looks steady enough to me. And you look through you know, his ratings from season to season. You look through, he's added goals, you know, like...
We haven't got
left wing-backs that have added goals. You know, I know it mainly comes from assists, but, you know, he's added some goals to in his seasons as well. So I think, you know, I think he'll do a job for us, and it'll put a bit more pressure on you know, Mateson, and also probably gives us a chance to change the way that we play a little bit if we had to. If we went 4-4-2, he's probably a bit more of a natural left-sided midfielder at times as well. And yeah, from what I've heard, he seems a tidy player. I think he's probably, from what I've heard, he kind of felt that he should have been a regular starter at QPR, and I think that's why it kind of went a bit south. I think he's got a very high opinion of himself, and let's hope he can live up to that.
Yeah, definitely. Dave, do you feel like we might be a bit stretched in some areas if we were to have some injuries, or are you fairly sort of happy with the squad and how it is now?
I think, of course, but what can you do really in terms of the transfer market? What do you bring in? Because you're still paying quite a few players, you know, that we haven't obviously got rid of, that are still on the wage bill. And you've also got players, you know, to fully get fit and come back into it. Kelly, of course. So I think we need everyone to be fit for a start. We need a fully fit squad, but it's very difficult because when you start replacing injured players, you know, you start to have a really large squad and it gets expensive. So
do you think we could have hamstrung by these, like I keep calling these wildcard signings, but you know, like the Jabellos, the Hilsners, like the, I don't know, it just feels like we've got a bit of deadwood hanging around the club at the moment on probably quite, like, not massive wages, but if you top them up, it's probably, you know, a couple of decent players that we could sign.
Yeah, but you know, it's difficult, isn't it? It's difficult to move players on sometimes when we say it all the time. We're almost a bit of a, you know, we're almost, it's the issue of our, you know, downfall of our own success in a way, because we've gone through the leagues quite quickly. And it's very difficult, isn't it, to churn out and change every year a 22-man squad. But ultimately, there's going to be some players that just aren't quite up to it. And you just hope that the levels start to go up a little bit. You hope that, you know, it seems like, for me, that even the new coach has done a bit of a job and has probably had a positive impact. And you just hope that some of those players, just even if they could just pick up their levels a little bit more, you know, like Shipley, perhaps like, you know, Jabello may be able to offer you something. I would say unlikely, but definitely with like Shipley, you know, is there ability there to see if we could just push it one little bit more of a level so that actually you've got cover and you've got a bit more off the bench. Whereas I think if you look at it, we do feel a little bit short, but then, you know, we are also got the lowest budget, one of the lowest budgets of the league. You're not going to have a championship like championship player replacement, but for every position. It's just not going to happen. It's just not realistic. And that's, again, you know, you just got to keep coming back down to reality. We're almost fortunate we've got O'Hare, who is without a doubt one of the best number 10s in the league. Definitely. And, you know, we've got Hamer, you know, who again is attacking midfielder wise is one of them. He's up there, you know, he's very solid. And then the two wing back positions, maybe not so much Mateson, but Dabo is class. So I feel like in a lot of positions, we're probably already punching a little above our weight for a team that finished 16th last year and only just came into the division, from the season before.
Yeah. Some really interesting ones there. And obviously one that you mentioned there was Kelly to come back. Andy, he's going to be key, isn't he, for the rest of our season?
Yeah, massive. You saw how important he was last season, how important he is. We don't lose many games when he plays. So him and Matty James did excellent towards the end of last season. Big reason why we stayed in the division, them two. And Kelly's vital for us. I don't think he's too far away by all reports. So, and he will give added competition to Ben Chief and Gus, and because them two have been very good at the start of the season. But Kelly will, you know, add that experience in front of fans, and he's vital for us going forward, not just because of his play and his positional sense, his leadership, Tom. And I think he's going to be vital for us. And I'm going to be excited for when he comes back, because that's one area we are quite light in, isn't it, in centre midfield.
Yeah.
And when he comes back and gets a few games under the belt, I will feel a bit more happier.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I think, Andy, in terms of the, you know, we're talking about the investment into the team and stuff, I think obviously the budgets would have been set on last season's crowds, and there wasn't obviously any crowds at all. So I think, you know, once, you know, full season back in Coventry with decent crowds, you know, you'd hope the next summer might be the time to put a bit more investment in, especially if the owners see the potential in the team. You know, we're probably not going to be miles off the, you know, top half or top six, hopefully. And then kick on, you know, next summer. That could be the time to actually put it up.
I think so. It'd probably be the perfect time, wouldn't it? If we finished last season 16th, if we finish what, 10th, 12th this season, I think that would be a success. And then next summer, you know, you've got a season of gate money behind you. You know, big decent crowds at the CBS, which we've had for the first couple of games, if that continues. Yeah, I think next summer can be quite exciting as a Coventry fan. It's just, and I get it from fans. Fans are impatient, and you know, you want success tomorrow, yesterday, don't you, Tom? But it doesn't happen that way, you know, especially with our budget, the way we've been treated. You know, we played in Birmingham for two seasons. You know, you're not going to forget that, and it will take time. But it's about steady progression. You know, if we finish 12th this season, that will be success. And then, this, you know, from the money we've had from being back at the CBS Arena, then maybe we can spend a bit of money on better players, can't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's football.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. Just that gradual growth, isn't it?
We've got to absolutely
know where we are in our stage of development.
Of course.
But yeah, fingers crossed next summer we can, you know, improve more.
Definitely.
That's all we've got time for, chaps. Thanks a lot for joining me as always. And listeners, do make sure you check out our partner Shorten Horn across their Facebook, Instagram and Twitter pages. And as always, you can get involved in the conversation with anything we've discussed. All you need to do is use the hashtag SkyBluesExtraPodcast.
Thanks for listening to the Sky Blues Extra Podcast.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.